If you would, this morning, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 14. And so many times messages are sort of on a negative point or a down point, but this morning I want us to be on upward ground. The old song says higher ground. I hope this morning that we can rejoice on the high points that what God has prepared for us. As an individual Christian, we need to consider what the Lord has given to us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This morning there are and there will be times of need that come to all of us. But I'm so glad that the Scriptures declare to us here that we have a high priest. Not only is he a high priest, he's the great high priest. And then he invites us to come boldly to his throne. He invites us to come directly into His presence and present to Him the petitions that we have, knowing all along that His throne is a throne of grace that we can obtain mercy. Thank God one day as a Christian, as a believer, we obtain that mercy in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, but mercy never ends. It never runs low, never runs out, and we can obtain mercy and find grace in time of need that will help us in our walk of life. Have you ever stopped to consider what we have as an individual Christian? How often we do miss out on the enjoyment of our placement that God has put us, and how many times we miss those spiritual blessings simply because we do not take time to count our blessings. We do not take time to consider or reflect upon those good things that God has given to us. We need to sort of look at and deliberate on the blessings because of Christ. And sometimes we see on a bumper sticker or car tag, it says, "I'm blessed" or "truly blessed." Well, this morning I'm declaring to you, if you're a believer, we are blessed. If we are a Christian, a child of God, I'm not talking about just somebody that goes through the motion, but I'm talking about somebody that's really born again, we can certainly say we're truly blessed. We are blessed of God. Paul emphasizes here in these verses this morning, verse 14 through 16, that we have some things in Christ, that Jesus was in reality what Aaron was in type. Jesus is our great high our great high priest. His person, his position, his purity, all those things will give to us great blessings as a child of God. Turn back with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter number 4. Very familiar passage here in John chapter 4 and verse number 14. Jesus here refers to a benefit that we have from a illustration that he gives concerning this fountain that will never dry up. Thank God we have a living water, it's a spring of living water. In verse 14 here, as Jesus talks to the woman at the well, he says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, I shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." This morning as a believer, we have a fountain that will never, never run dry. It'll never dry up because it's a spring of water springing up into eternal or everlasting life. Here Jesus, as he talked to this woman there at the well, she came there because she was thirsty. She came to draw physical water because of her physical need. But Jesus was there to give her spiritual water for her spiritual need. And it does not matter how needy we are. The greatest need that any individual has is that spiritual need of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so Christ came to her. And the Bible said Jesus told his disciples, "I must needs go through Samaria." Because he knew that there would be a woman there that had a great need that only he could supply that need. You and I this morning, as a believer, as a Christian, there came a time that it wasn't good enough for my mom and dad to be a Christian. It wasn't good enough for me to be going to a good Bible-believing church. It wasn't enough to have friends and relatives that were believers. It came down to the point that one day I had to understand that I had a great spiritual need, a spiritual thirst that only Jesus Christ could supply. He says here that if you drink of this water, you shall never thirst. To such a weary and unsatisfied sinner, the grace of God is like a cold drink of water to a thirsty individual that has great need of that. And all of a sudden they realize that Jesus can supply, that Jesus is the giver of life, that He is the one that is that well of water, that constant supply, that unfailing fountain that shall never, never dry up. Thank God this morning, when we take that, we'll never thirst again. We'll never have that that need again of being being lost and have that need of coming to Christ again, because He supplies the need. And He gives us that water, and the Scripture calls it here springing up into everlasting life. The water of life through Jesus Christ. He shall be satisfied with this and not have a sense of want or need ever again because of the allurements of the world, and they may press upon us, but we may have understanding that when Christ saved us, He gave us a well springing up in our heart, in our life, that will never cease, never dry up. It's always there in abundant supply. The Scripture here calls it a well of water. It calls it a place of constant supply. It's like an unending fountain that is always flowing, because it says that it is springing up. It's like a spring that flows out of the side of a mountain or out of the side of a hill, and there's always that constant supply. This is a beautiful picture that we find in our minds if we look upon this bubbling spring that comes up. If you've ever drove through Highway 60 in Missouri, you come to a little town called Van Buren, and there is a river in Van Buren that is a result of a spring that's back up a few miles away from the town. And when we went through there years ago, as I was traveling back and forth to college, we would sometimes we would stop and go to the source of that river. And it was just on a hillside, and it probably was as wide as half of this building, and there was water just bubbling up continually. It was a spring of water, it was a great spring, and on down as it flowed, it formed a river that ran through the town. I remember that town for more reasons than that. One time I went through there about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was, I had to be at college, and dare not be late, and I was barreling down through there, and Sharon said, "You better slow down." I said, "Well, this little old one-horse town, it doesn't even have a policeman." Well, about the time I hit that bridge to go out of town, I found out they had a policeman. They might not have had but one, but he found me that night. And so Van Buren, when I think of that spring, I always think of that time that I got stopped there that day. I was fortunate I didn't get a ticket. The grace and the mercy of that policeman was there. But he said, "Where are you going so fast?" I said, "Well, I've got to be in college. I've got to be in class at 7 o'clock. And that was about 2:30. He said, "Well, drive a little slower so you'll get there all in one piece." But that well and that spring that was there in that place that formed a river, and you can go there today and that water is flowing just as strong as it was those many years ago. I'm glad, thank God, the well of water that sprang in my heart one day is still flowing there just as strong and just as abundant now as it was that first day that I tasted of the good grace of God and rejoiced in that well of water. Thank God, Jesus gave Himself. It's a free gift. It's full to everyone. To everyone that would take upon it. It's like a gushing, plummeting supply of water, and it is forever. The Scripture says it's springing forth. Jesus said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but that water that I shall give him shall be within him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Thank God we have a fountain that never dries. We have a fountain that never goes away. We have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll never run dry. You see, the gift of God is inexhaustible. The gift of God is completely refreshing and it's life-giving and it'll never run out. It's always abundant there. That's what we have as a believer. That's what we have as a Christian. The Christian has that never-failing source of supply that, by the way, it'll adapt to the times and the needs of our life. What I needed back then may not suffice now, but it can take care of me what I need now. The supply is always there, and whatever circumstances might be there, this woman came to that well with her water pot, but she went home with a well of water springing up in her life, and she rejoiced in that, and we also have that same thing. Not only do I have a fountain, but thank God the Scripture tells me that I have a friend. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I have a friend that'll never walk out on me. I have a Lord that is there forever to help me. Jesus is called the friend of sinners. To know the Lord Jesus Christ is to have a friend indeed. When we know Him instinctively as our beloved brother. The song we sang a while ago, what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That's what I have in being a Christian. Now the world out there, they know nothing about that fountain. They know nothing about that friend, but I have that, and as a believer, you have that, and we can rejoice. Even though the world has gone literally crazy around us, we have a friend that'll never walk out on us. He's always there, and His supply is always abundant. In Proverbs chapter number 17, verse 17, the Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend is a friend at all times. There's another song that says, may I introduce you to this friend of mine. I'm glad, thank the Lord, we have a friend. We can introduce folks to Him. He hangs out the stars. He tells the sun when to shine. He goes on and says, He kisses the flower each morning with dew. But He's not too busy to care about you. I'm glad this morning that I have a friend. There's not a sparrow that falls that God doesn't know about, but yet He knows about me. There's not a hair that falls from the head of an individual that God doesn't know. But yet He's never too busy to care about me. Of all the things of life, all the affairs that go on and the troubles of life, I'm glad He's there for each of us to call upon and to have the blessings of knowing Christ as our personal Savior. In John chapter 9, we have the story of a man. And turn over there if you would just for a moment. John chapter 9. Let's look at verse number 21. It says, by what means he now seeth? Here's a man that was born blind. And the critics came along and says, what means he see? We know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Here the critics came to the parents and said, how come your son is seeing now? They said, we don't know. He's old enough to speak for himself. Why don't you ask him? In verse number 22, therefore these words spake his parents because they feared the Jew, for the Jew had agreed already that that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know this that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Boy, I love this next statement. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I'll tell you what, you cannot defeat the testimony of a believer. He said, I don't know this man that much about him personally. I didn't know who he was. But all I know is that I was blind and now I see. All we know when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ is that we have a need, that we're dead in sins and trespasses, we're blind, and we cannot see, our ears are deafened, that we cannot hear, our heart is hardened, that we will not believe. But all of a sudden Jesus comes by and He makes a change in our life, and we may not know all the details about it. We may not understand everything that happened, but we do know there's a change that's happened. We do know that we're on our way to heaven. I know not what He is or who He was. All I know that I was blind and now I see. Now look down verse number 34. They answered and said unto Him, Thou wast altogether born in sins and doth not teach us. And they cast Him out. Jesus heard that they had cast Him out, and when He had found Him, He said to Him, Doest thou believe on the Son of God? And He answered and said, Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him? And Jesus said to Him, Thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee. And He said, Lord, I believe. And He worshipped Him. Here, thank God, we have a friend, we have one that came to this man that had a great need. They cast Him out of the temple. They cast Him out of their sight. They didn't want Him around testifying about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord comes to him and said, Do you believe? He said, If you'll tell me who and what to believe, I will. And He said, You're talking to Him. You've had dealings with Him. And He says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Him. I'm glad this morning that in my battles I can look to the Lord Jesus Christ and He'll help my battles. I'm glad when the burdens come and the sorrows of life come and we're burdened down by that, thank God, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and He will lighten our load and He will bear our burdens. When bereavement comes, and it does come to all of us, thank God, as a believer, we have the Lord. We have a friend. This past week, July the 7th, 20 years ago, my father passed away there in the house where we live. But I'm glad Jesus was my burden bearer, even in bereavement. Just a little over a year ago, my mother passed away, and thank the Lord, He is there. He's a friend. And the world doesn't understand that. The world dies and passes away, and they just go through the motions of a funeral, but they don't have any understanding of eternity. The lost doesn't have any understanding of what's going to take place and what's going on. Some have never heard. Some have heard and rejected, and how they face life and how they face death without God is beyond my understanding, but they face it. But you and I this morning, we have a friend. And when those burdens and troubles and trials come to us, we have one that we can lean upon and we can fall upon and we can call upon Him. We can cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. I have a fountain that never dries up. I have a friend that will never walk out. I have a father that will never run off. Wednesday night we had service. It was just the workers. And Brother Sisson preached. And I've known Brother Melvin for 35 years, I guess. And I've never heard his testimony about his family like not like that night. And he talked about his father leaving and going down the steps as he watched him leave. Walks out on his family, walks out on his mother, walks out on him. And he said the thing that bothered me more than anything else as he walked away, he never looked back. He said, I felt so deserted and alone. Thank God we have a Father that will never walk out on us. He'll never run off. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 16 says, Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and of good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We have a Father this morning, and He's always there to help us. While God is certainly the creator of all men. He is only the father, really, of those who believe, of only believers. This fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man that the world tries to put upon us has nothing to do with Scripture. Jesus Christ died, and God our Father. He is only the Father spiritually to those that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many folks today, there may be even some in this auditorium this morning that may have a similar testimony as Brother Melvin did about his father walking out. And there are many children today that do not know who their father is. They've left them, they've disowned them. The government is looking for some fathers, can't find them. The deadbeat dads, as they're called. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? The song says, I have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy, and heart full of love. We have a heavenly Father. He comforts us. He conforms us. The Bible says that He conforms us to the very image of His Son. He's working on us day by day to do that. And when we get out of line as a father would his own children, He chastens us. He puts us back into position, puts us back into place. He puts us back into fellowship. I remember, and I'm sure others, all of us probably remember those times when we got out of fellowship with our family. We didn't do exactly what mom and dad told us to do, and they wasn't happy with us, and we wasn't happy with them. I remember thinking my mom and dad, they were the worst people ever lived because they wouldn't let me do everything I wanted to do. And if they hadn't let me do everything I wanted to do, I probably wouldn't be here this morning. But a father and a mother, they chasten us because they love us. And God chastens us because He loves us. I have that as a believer. You have that as a Christian. The Bible says, despise not the chastening. The Bible says, don't turn your back upon it. Chastening is never to run the child away. It is to bring the child back. When we study in our New Testament, church discipline, and by the way, it's still true. It's still there in the book. When people get out of sorts for the Lord, out of sorts for the church, the Bible gives you a pattern, gives you a plan, and some churches have used that to run people off. But you know, church discipline is to bring people back. It's to show them how much you care about them and show them where they're wrong and try to get them back into fellowship. That's what it's for. And God disciplines us. He conforms us. He comforts us. Because He is our Father. I have that as a believer. I have a foundation. I just about have to give you the outline. I have a foundation that it'll never give in. A father will never walk away. A friend that'll never despise me and misuse me. A fountain that'll never dry up. But I have a foundation that'll never give in. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He is our foundation. In Matthew chapter 7 gives us the story of a man that was wise and a man that was foolish. They both built their house. They probably built it the same way. They had the same purpose. They wanted a place to live. But the difference was what was underneath. People live their lives and people do the things maybe that everybody else does, and sometimes a non-believer will live like a believer, but the foundation is wrong. And when the problems and the trials and the storms come, the building maybe have the same thing. One's built upon the sand. Sand house is a house that has good intentions, but it'll fall. A house built on sand maybe has religious action, but it does not have righteousness. A house built on the sand has a false profession that does not have a possession. A house built upon the sand will fall. the battering will come. The house built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ will stand. When the rains come and the winds blow, and forces to reckon with, that house will stand because of its foundation. The Bible says there in Matthew chapter 7 that that man's house that did not fall, that was built upon a rock, it said it fell not because it's built upon that rock. And this morning, if we're built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not fall. Now, we may stumble, we may have problems, and difficulties will come, but we will not fall because we have a foundation that is secure. It'll not sink, it'll not get off level, it'll be where it always should be. And then lastly this morning, as a believer, thank God, we have a future that never fades away. It'll never, never fade away. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3 says, Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. We have an inheritance that's ahead of us. I have a future that will not fade away. The Bible says that it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Those of us that have this friend, those of us that have this fountain, thank God we have a future. Those of us that have all these things that we've talked about up to this point, this foundation, all, we have a future that is very, very bright. Now, I have no encouragement when I listen to Fox News or CNN News or any other deal. I don't have much encouragement in that, but I do have encouragement in 1 Peter chapter 3. Because I have something awaiting me. I have something reserved for me. I have something out in the future for me as a believer. Mercy met our misery, and grace took our guilt. Mercy took care of the misery that we had, and the grace of God that saved us. It was the mercy of God that moved Him to provide a salvation for a lost humanity. Salvation is not rooted in the merit of man and what we can do or what we can work up, but it is merited in the mercy of God that began with the Lord Jesus Christ a long, long, long time ago before the world ever began. Results of our mercy, of His mercy, is that I have a future. Our future is glorious. The Michael Jacksons may have their millions, and the sports crowd may have their hundreds of thousands and yea millions that follow after them. But thank God I have the Lord. And I have a future. I have a home. I have a hope. I have a heaven that is forever with the Lord. A new birth makes salvation a reality. You can read about it all you want to. You can have all the information you want to have concerning the new birth, but unless it becomes a reality in your life, it means nothing. Unless it becomes real, heaven is an inheritance that is given to all the children of God, and it's given to none but His children. I'm glad there's no joint purchasers in this. He saved us. We belong to Him. None can legally inherit but the children that are the children of God, spiritually begotten, born again by the Spirit of the Lord. We can rest in that because of the resurrection. We have a living Christ. We have a living Lord. Hebrews 7:25 says, Therefore He is able to save to the uttermost. Thank God He can take care of us all the way. He is my foundation, but He is my future. I have a future that is incorruptible. Peter tells us here, an inheritance incorruptible. That word incorruptible means faultless. It means beyond decay, beyond deterioration. So many inheritances vanish away. Money can be squandered everywhere. Brother Bowen's son that gave his testimony of how God saved him. He had an accident. I guess the company. He fell 20 feet flat on his back on concrete. I forget how many hundred thousands of dollars that he got from that company just as pay for that accident. Something negligent in what happened. And he doesn't have a dime today. That was just a few years ago. He said, I squandered it all on drugs and alcohol and women and you name it. He said, I did it. Our inheritances, our money can be here today and gone tomorrow. But my inheritance that I have with the Lord is faultless beyond decay. It can't decay. It can't be gone. The Bible says it's not only faultless, incorruptible, but it's undefiled. That means it's flawless. Nothing wrong with it. It's perfect. It's beyond defect. It's beyond flaw. No one can find any flaw in its deed. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's beyond destruction. It's reserved in heaven for you. It's beyond reach of the devil. It's beyond reach of the world. It's in another world. And the Bible says it's reserved for us, we that are believers. This old world and our society is running to and fro. The Bible says before the Lord comes, knowledge will increase. And brother, it's increasing at a rapid pace. I saw a report the other day that a person in a wheelchair, that just by his thoughts can make that wheelchair go forward, backward, right, left, turn 80 degrees, 70 degrees, 50 degrees, just by thoughts. Knowledge is increasing. And the fellow said, it is comprehensible that a person could drive their car just by their thoughts, by the same technology. All that sounds science fiction. I remember when I was a kid, people talk about, yeah, there'll be a day when you can talk to people and see them on the phone. Well, the day's here. We can do anything. But you know what? My reservation, my inheritance in heaven is far greater than all that. And they cannot tap that supply because they don't know God. Reserved in heaven. I have this. You that are saved have this. If you're not saved today, you don't have it. For having Christ is to have everything. To have the Lord. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on Him. Him is the important character. The Lord Jesus Christ. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth. This morning, I've tried to give you a message that encourages us of what we have. That's my possession. And nobody, no one, nothing, no government, no group of people can take these things away from the believer. Because the Lord says, they're yours. We have a future that's bright. We have a foundation that's real. We have all these things. They're there because one day Jesus saved us. God, through His mercy and His grace, came to where we were. And though my sins were red like crimson, He made them white as snow. Though I was a far distance away from Him, as the prodigal was, and as He is that Father that looks and sees that Son approaching, having mercy on His Son, saying, come and die. Thank God I have these things because I'm a believer. If you are a believer, you have the same things. If you're not a believer, you can have them before this day's over. That's how quick it is. So thank the Lord this morning, Christian, of what we have. We have a bright hope. We have a wonderful home awaiting us. And Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you where I am. There you may be also. Let's stand together this morning.